Coming up today on A Daily Walk.
You know what I found? God is not so much concerned about age as he is concerned about the heart. That's really what God's concerned about, your heart. No matter what age you are, God can use you, but he's concerned about, where's my heart at? Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal toward him. The Bible says concerning David, he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man, a woman after God's own heart? No matter what your age is, God looks at not the outward appearance, friends, not all the trimmings and trappings in the exterior. God is far more concerned about the inside. Where's my heart?
Be watchful. No doubt you've said that a time or two to your children or loved ones, especially as they hit the road on a trip of some sort. Today on A Daily Walk, we'll see the need to be careful and watchful in our Christian walk on the road of life. What does Christianity mean and stand for? As you may know, not everyone answers that the same way these days, even though the Bible is quite clear. Pastor John Randall takes us to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 10 through 24, where we find a series of short commands uttered by the Apostle Paul.
If you would open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, picking up this morning in verse 10. If you'd follow along with me, as we come now to the conclusion of this letter to the Corinthians. And in verse 10, Paul writes, "Now, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren." Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. As I said this morning, our study in 1 Corinthians comes to a close. And we've noted that of the 13 known letters that the Apostle Paul had written, 1 Corinthians was more than likely the most difficult letter he had to write, not only based upon the content that we find within the letter, but in his second letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, he talks about what he was going through when he wrote this. He said these words, "Out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." It was as if Paul was saying, when I wrote this letter, I dipped my pen, not in ink, but in tears. I was so brokenhearted over what I had to write to you. For the first 15 chapters, Paul is confronting and he's correcting sin within the church. He also answered several questions that he received in a letter from the church, and he cleared up some important doctrinal misconceptions within the church. But now he ends with a farewell and conclusion. Found within these closing comments were some very practical principles that needed to be applied. Last week, Paul talked about the importance of giving unto the work of the Lord, also planning according to the will of the Lord. Paul now gives instructions concerning his co-laborers who ministered alongside of him, and he begins by referring to Timothy. Now, when you read of the Apostle Paul, for example, in the book of Acts, you can kind of get the impression that he operated in the ministry alone, that he, for the most part, flew solo. Granted, Paul was very independent in many ways, yet at the same time, he was also dependent upon the Lord and the assistance of others in the ministry. Many names are mentioned alongside of the Apostle Paul, men like Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, or Silas, or Dr. Luke, who accompanied Paul, wrote the book of Acts, and was with him up to the very end of his life. In his deepest of theological letters, which was the letter to the Romans. In the conclusion of that letter, in the 16th chapter, Paul lists a whole lot of names there, 33 names actually, 24 of the names that he lists that served alongside of in the ministry were Roman men, 7 were women. Then he makes mention of 9 people. who were with him at the time when he wrote this epistle, 8 men and 1 woman. Again, 33 names, 24 names mentioned who were serving with him in Rome. I mean, he wasn't by himself. 17 men and 7 women. He also mentions 2 households there at the end of the epistle to the Romans. But of all the names that you read about, that Paul mentions, there's one that stands out, and that was the name of Timothy. There was a special place in Paul's heart for Timothy. Paul wrote 2 letters to him personally, 1 and 2 Timothy, which are included in the pastoral epistles along with Titus. When Paul was on his first missionary journey, there in Acts chapter 14, it records for us that he entered the cities of Lystra and Derbe. And there was a man within the city who was lame in his feet, and the Lord used Paul to heal this man. And when those in the city saw this former lame man walking, they assumed that Paul and Barnabas were gods among them. They said that one was Zeus and the other was Hermes. And so they decided in that pagan culture to offer a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas, saying the gods are among us. And when Paul and Barnabas recognized what the people were doing, they immediately tore their garments as a sign of just outward anguish, saying, listen, don't sacrifice us. We're not gods. We're just men. Now, following Paul and Barnabas into that city were a group of Jews, disgruntled. They came from Antioch and Iconium, and the Bible says that they stirred up the crowd, and 1 minute they were wanting to sacrifice to Paul, the next minute they took him outside of the city, and they put him to death by stoning him. And there Paul lay lifeless on the ground. The Bible says that the disciples gathered around him, and he was revived. And what did he do? You'd think, we need to go to the next city. No, not Paul. Paul went right back into the same city and began to preach some more. Here's part 2 of my message after I've been back from the dead. Now, Timothy lived in that city. Timothy had a godly heritage. He had a godly grandmother and he had a godly mother. But Paul was the one that really led Timothy to a deeper understanding and faith in Christ. And so Paul ended up enlisting Timothy as a co-laborer, and he refers to Timothy as not only a fellow worker and a soldier, but he refers to him as a son in the faith. That's the kind of relationship that Paul had with Timothy. And because Timothy was faithful, Paul would send him out to minister to the various churches that they had planted. He would get a field report, come back and share with Paul how the churches were doing and their condition. And so as he begins to send him to Corinth, notice in verse 10, it says, if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him. Send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I'm waiting for him with the brethren. One of the churches that Paul sent Timothy to was the church in Corinth. In fact, many believe that it was Timothy that was entrusted with the letter to the Corinthians, and he was the one that delivered it to them. But he says, when Timothy comes to you, listen, see that he may be with you without fear. Why? Because Paul says here, I love this, he does the work of the Lord. He does the work of the Lord. Timothy wasn't one of these guys that just kind of watched everybody else do the work of the Lord. Timothy was a guy that rolled up his sleeves, jumped into the harvest field, and began to reap in that field. He was a worker. He wasn't a loiterer. The guy was a laborer. And Timothy was faithful in this ministry. He worked doing the work of the Lord. And Paul says, he does it just like I do. You know, there are some that would rather observe people doing the work of the Lord than doing it themselves. And what's so unfortunate about that is you miss out on the joy of serving the Lord. There is such a tremendous joy in serving the Lord. You end up, you know, you're wanting to bless people, but in the process, what happens? You get blessed. You can never out-bless God. And there's so much joy in serving the Lord. Sometimes people come to church and it's just, well, what about me? And me. And they forget that, well, church isn't all about you. Actually, it's all about Jesus. And you have this joy of being able to serve the Lord by not just being a hearer of the word week after week, but listen, being a doer of the word. There's a tremendous difference. And listen, there are so many opportunities available, even in this congregation. I'm amazed as I look at the bulletin and see how many ways in which we have the opportunity to jump into the harvest field and serve the Lord. Nobody here should say, well, I just can't really. No more of that. Do the work of the Lord. Do something for the kingdom of God. I say that with all love, so that you might experience joy. Paul said, this guy does the work of the Lord. So I want him to be without fear. Timothy had the opportunity to be discipled by the mighty apostle, but he was still a young man. And there were certain things about the ministry, especially going into a city like Corinth, that were intimidating. And Paul didn't want him to be afraid. You can only imagine, there were people in Corinth that were very insubordinate to the ministry of the apostle Paul. They'd never talked to him face to face about it, of course, but if one of his assistants showed up, they would have a problem venting on that guy. And so Paul says, listen, when my son in the faith shows up, respect him. Respect him because he does the work of the Lord in the same way that I do, which really says something. For all of the people that Paul had alongside of him in ministry, did you know that Timothy, singular, Paul mentions him in Philippians, and he says this concerning Timothy. He said, I have no one. He said, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly that I may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one who is as like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ, but you know his proven character as a son who with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Paul makes it very clear that Timothy was the kind of man that he wasn't in ministry for himself. He was there to serve the people. Paul said, of all the people I know, there's nobody as like-minded as Timothy. He does the ministry the way I do it. That's hard to find people like that. Paul said, I have one guy, and don't be looking at his outward appearance, but be looking at his inward character. One of the things that Timothy, of course, culturally, they would say had going against him was he was a young man. And because he was young in that particular culture, people looked at him and thought, what does that guy know? That guy doesn't know anything. What is he going to tell us? Who is this guy anyway? Paul wrote to Timothy, and he told him very clearly, Timothy, listen, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know what I found? God is not so much concerned about age as he is concerned about the heart. That's really what God's concerned about, your heart. No matter what age you are, God can use you, but he's concerned about, where's my heart at? Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal toward him. The Bible says concerning David, he was a man after God's own heart. Are you a man, a woman after God's own heart? No matter what your age is, God looks at not the outward appearance, friends, not all the trimmings and trappings in the exterior. God is far more concerned about the inside. Where's my heart? That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. He's concerned about the heart. And so Paul said, when Timothy arrives, listen, I want you to receive him just like you would receive me. He's like-minded. He sincerely cares. He's not selfish. He's seasoned in the ministry, and he is a servant. Then Paul mentions another associate, another colleague that served alongside of him. His name was Apollos. It says in verse 12, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Now, if you've been studying with us, you know that Apollos was mentioned back in chapter 1. He was from the city of Alexandria, which was the hub of intellectual activity. He was an eloquent man. He was a great orator. He was mighty in scripture. And the Corinthian people loved Apollos. When Apollos came to minister, they just loved this guy. Yeah, Paul, you're great. But this guy knows how to speak, and he's eloquent. And the Corinthians loved eloquence. So you got eloquence along with being mighty in scriptures. I mean, I don't think Apollos wanted it, but he had a fan club surrounding him. We love Apollos. And there was a division in the church. People were saying, well, we're of Paul. That's great. We're of Apollos. We love him. Yes, we do. Anyhow, what ended up happening is Apollos left the church there and continued to minister. But I love this fact that Paul wasn't threatened by the ministry of Apollos. In Paul's mind, we're on the same team. Whether it's Paul or Apollos, one sows the seed of the word, another waters, another harvests. Paul was not intimidated or felt like his ministry was going to be eclipsed by Apollos. In fact, Paul said, I encourage Apollos to come down there and minister to you. And I love that about the Apostle Paul. Did you know that so much can be accomplished in the kingdom of God when we're not worried about who gets the credit? About whose name it is that, oh, he did that? Oh, well, of course he did. I mean, who cares? It's the name of Jesus that's going to last forever. Our names are going to perish. Nobody's going to remember us, but they will remember the name of Jesus. It's also worth noting that Paul, being that the apostle that he was, felt strongly, he says here, that Apollos should go and either assist Timothy or clear the air amidst the division. I told Apollos he should go down there, but Apollos said, apparently he said, I didn't feel like it was the right time. I point that out to say, if the mighty apostle said, hey, John, I want you to go down to Corinth, I'd say, well, yeah, the apostle Paul told me to go. And so I'm going to go because Paul told me to go. No, Apollos didn't go, even though Paul told him to, because he was probably listening to the Lord. This didn't feel like it was the right time. And I think that is significant, that we listen to the Lord. We seek the Lord for counsel. There is wisdom in the multitude of counselors, and I would say godly counselors. But let the counsel that you receive ultimately come from the Lord and from his word. It's okay to ask people, hey, what do you think about this? It's okay to ask the pastor, hey, could you pray for me about this? What do you think I should do? And well, this is, you know, what I think, but you know, ultimately you need to listen to the Lord. I just want you to understand that. Listen, if you come and ask me a question, or you ask any of the staff here, or the pastors here to give you counsel, we're going to point you to Jesus. We're going to point you to his word. We'll encourage you based upon the information that you give. But ultimately, you need to hear from the Lord as a Christian individually. You need to hear from the Lord. Jesus is the great shepherd. We're just the under shepherds pointing you in the right direction. So get your counsel from God's word and get your counsel from the Lord ultimately. And we'll do our best to help point you in the right direction. And prayerfully, we're hearing from the Lord as well. And so Apollos did what he felt the Lord wanted him to do. In verse 13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. Being that the church in Corinth was steeped in so many different problems, at the conclusion of his message, Paul gives a very concise exhortation. And there are several things that Paul addresses in these exhortations. This exhortation here in verse 13 deals with carelessness and indecisiveness and selfishness and pettiness and weakness. To combat all of that, he gives this strong exhortation. I want you to follow along very carefully. As Paul says, first of all, here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch. Just make a note of that. Watch. It means to be alert. It means to be vigilant. It means to be awake. That may be a word for someone here this morning, even now. To be awake. And this term is used many times in Scripture in different ways. And it's as necessary today as it was back then. There's a need for watchfulness. The church in Corinth had been, in many ways, in a spiritual stupor. They weren't aware of what was going on. Instead of watching, many of them were sleeping spiritually. Some of them had grown apathetic. Pagan ideas were trickling in. Vain philosophies were coming in. False teachers were being given the platform. In the congregational setting, there was chaos. And the Bible gives us several things, therefore, in the New Testament to watch for. First, let's consider the negative side. Watch out, be awake, be aware of the enemy. There's an adversary, the devil. He's the angel of light. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the Bible says we need to be aware. He doesn't just want to simply injure you. He would like to destroy you. And if anybody knew this, Peter did. Jesus told Peter, Simon, Satan has asked for you by name to sift you like wheat. The devil came to Jesus and said, hey, listen, I'd like to wipe Peter out. Would you let me? Jesus said, what I'm doing, Peter, is I'm praying for you. And of course, Peter fell. Peter denied the Lord three times. And so in his first epistle, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter exhorts the church and said, listen, be watchful. There is a real adversary, and he's bent on our destruction. So watch out, be watchful. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 4, don't give place to the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul said, lest Satan should take advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. The only way you're not going to be ignorant of the devices of the devil is if you are watchful concerning them in the midst of warfare. And so we watch out. We're aware of what's going on around us, not just to be watchful concerning the enemy, but also watchful concerning temptation. Believers need to be on the alert in the areas of temptation. Don't go to sleep in the heat of the battle. So many times the difference between victory and defeat in the area of temptation is whether or not we are watching, if we're mindful of the fact that that's a temptation. You remember Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 14, in verse 38, he said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit truly is willing, but the flesh, it's weak." Jesus told his disciples, what? Watch. And with that, pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the prayer. And as I'm watching and I'm prayerful, then I'm going to escape and take that way of escape when temptation comes, as opposed to falling into temptation. We also need to be on the alert, not only for the enemy, for temptation, but apathy, spiritual apathy. So suddenly, apathy creeps in, takes hold of us, and we begin to just be desensitized by everything around us. And we just become apathetic to things that God is not apathetic toward, even in the church. Just become just kind of, yeah, whatever, man. It's not a big deal. Just, you know, it's all about love. You know, who cares? I mean, it doesn't really matter. People just get apathetic on things that are, no, this is a truth issue. This is a moral issue. This is a Bible issue. They can't be apathetic about that and just, well, it's fine. It's not a big deal. No, listen, it's a big deal. And Jesus said it was a big deal. And so we don't want to grow apathetic. And sometimes people do that. They think, wow, scriptures are boring. Bible study's a bummer. Worship, I already know that song. You know, you just get to this place like, what are you doing? What's your problem? Perhaps you've grown apathetic toward the things of God, and we need to be awakened out of that. Listen, Jesus wrote to the church in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Sardis, and listen to what he said. This is rather startling. He wrote to the church in Revelation 3, and he said, "I know your works. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead." Can you imagine Jesus writing a letter to a church that was under the impression, we're the alive church, check us out. We are alive. Come, see our church, we're alive. Jesus said, you know what my assessment of the church is? It's dead. You have a name that you're alive, but spiritually speaking, you're dead. What is the antidote to that? What's the remedy? Jesus said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. That is so sobering to me. I think, what if the Lord wrote a letter to Calvary San Juan? What would he say? Would he say, you guys got a name that you're alive. Woohoo! But let me just tell you, you're dead. I can't imagine the Lord saying that. So I want to be watchful that would never happen. I want to be sober-minded. These are some of the things you watch out for. The devil, temptation, apathy.
You've been listening to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We've been in the book of 1 Corinthians today, and you can order a CD copy with relative ease. That's available for a cost of just $5 at adailywalk.org or by calling 877-242-0828. You can also listen to our recent programs on our website at adailywalk.org or through our app. The app is available for Android and iPhone users. Also, look for us on Roku and Apple TV by searching for CCSJC. We're super excited to offer you John's entire study of Revelation on a reusable USB flash drive. Listen and learn as John leads you through all 22 chapters of this amazing book. It's available for a limited time for just $20. Here's just a taste.
Are we the kind of people that are currently holding fast to the name of Jesus? Are we willing to stand for our faith, even in the midst of opposition? It's one thing to claim to have faith, and it's quite another to live according to the faith that we profess to have. Do we actually live out our faith? Do people see our faith on display? Would Jesus, in looking at this fellowship of believers, would he be able to say, I'm commending you because you stand for the faith and you haven't denied my name, not only by what you say, but by how you live?
Again, that's Pastor John's study of Revelation on a USB flash drive. Order it right now by calling 877-242-0828 or online at adailywalk.org. And please remember us in your prayers, and as the Lord leads, we'd appreciate your financial support. Your partnership is vitally important, and help us provide these teachings to listeners all around the world. We can't do it alone. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org for secure online giving. We know these are difficult times for many of you, and we want to pray for you. Please email Pastor John at adailywalk@gmail.com and let us know how we can pray for you today. We'll finish up 1 Corinthians next time on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. We hope to have you with us.